WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. It is football season around here. We're going to be talking baseball as the Orioles are in first place. Luke's out at the ballpark. We'll be doing some events around the Tampa games next week. We're also going to be at Fadley's in Lexington Market eating crab cakes, doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Jiffy Lube. We have a new sponsor as well as our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. But football season, opening the season against Houston. Now, in the old days, that would have been the Oilers. For those of you watching, you see that I am wearing my number 7. It's the first time I've had a chance to wear it in football season. But this is a special segment for a chance to wear it because this is a throwback to the 1970s. For those of you who know that I was a Baltimore Colts fan as a child, but really was a Houston Oilers fan. And I remember seeing this guy throw a couple touchdown passes in a losing effort against a really stacked Baltimore Colts team back in 1976 and Burt Jones. He is Dan Pastorini, number 7 in your program, number 1 in your heart, especially if you were a Love You Blue guy. I would sing the Oiler Cannonball to you, Dan, or I would sing the Oiler fight song. But more than anything, it's been a little while. How are you, man? You look like a million bucks, as always.
I'm good, thank you. You too, man. It's good to see you.
Well, I was thinking you living your best life. I think at this point, you know, we lost Jimmy Buffett over the weekend. Springsteen's in town this week. Yeah. And I see these old musician still out doing tours, going around. Sting's here this week. And I think to myself, living their best life, out making money, doing what they love. Man, when you're a football player, baseball player, they take it away from you. Even when you're a race car driver, they take it away from you. What's your best life right now? Every time I see you, you pop up on Guy Fieri or someplace like that, and you're always doing something for charity, which is how I met you.
Well, you know, it's funny. I'm still doing a lot for charity. I'm chairman of the board for the past 4 years for Be an Angel Foundation, which is our little logo right here. I have a golf tournament for the last 13 years. We've raised about $2.2 million for the charity. The charity's basis and operative is to help profoundly deaf children and families with multiple disabilities to improve their quality of life with adaptive care and equipment. So we've been doing that now for the charity's been around for 35 years. And, you know, we've just expanded an office up into Dallas. We're planning on expanding another office down into San Antonio as well. But so far we're doing really well. We're helping a lot of kids and raising a lot of money. And so it's really a worthwhile endeavor for me. And I've got a great team that I'm working with, both with my golf charity, Dan Pastorini Charity, and also Be an Angel Foundation. We've got a wonderful group of board of directors and employees that bust their butts.
Dan, I got two friends in my life, both female, a little younger than me, both of them, but with children, one of them now with grown children. The cochlear implant and, you know, what can be done with young people to be able to hear. I have, like I said, two friends with children who hear me. I know them. I hug them. I talk to them. They have to put their ears in the morning, but they hear perfectly and are living normal lives. I mean, Lord knows if you and I were born deaf, you in the 40s, me in the 60s, we would have had a different ride, a different experience with life.
It would have been a much different ride. And I'll tell you what, there's no greater thrill than to see a young child get cochlear implants and hear his or her mother's voice for the first time. I mean, it just takes your breath away. It's unbelievable.
Well, you've been a part of this. Tell everybody how to find you again. Give them the email address or the website for that.
The website is beanangel.com. You can go on there. You'll find our information about our golf tournament, different fundraisers that we're doing, different programs that we're doing, different people that we're helping. It's all right there. So www.beanangel.com.
All right, we're going to have a little fun here. John McClain, a longtime Houston Chronicle, the legend, the general, came on and he told me this week, there's no way the Texans are going to beat the Ravens this week. So I'll just leave it. I'm not going to talk a lot of Texans with you, but I do want to talk about your town. And I'm wearing a defunct jersey, and John has made it known to me, and I think everybody in Houston knows, certainly in Nashville, the Oilers jerseys are going to be back on the Texans against, or on the Titans against the Texans at some point in December. We deal with this. The Colts are coming here in 3 weeks. The Colts play in Baltimore third week of September. It's been going on since 84. You have a whole different thing. I've known Bruce Laird, who I know you know, and a whole bunch of other Colts that were sort of orphaned here. We've talked about this before when you've been on the program, but you're further along in it where it's been there and these jerseys are out there. I see Bum on the wall behind you. I see all your teammates, yeah. Elvin, Robert Brazil, all those on the wall behind you. How do you feel about, what do you think when you see this? You see it every day of your life. I have it hanging in my closet and you're a hero and a legend to me, you, Campbell, all those guys, but you're surrounded by this. It's in your office. What do you think when you see this?
It's heartwarming and it's very flattering. And when I go to the grocery store here, I inevitably get people your age or older that will come up to me and thank me for those years. And I turn around and thank them because the fans were the greatest fans in the world. I mean, there are football fans and everything else, but I've never seen anything in any city that matches the Love You Blue phenomenon that was down here in Houston in the late 70s to early 80s. And, you know, it's kind of funny. There are a lot of people that are pissed off because the Titans are doing this. And it's funny. We had an Oiler Titan reunion last year up in Tennessee. And I went up for that and saw all the guys from all the different teams, Warren Moon, you know, everybody was Eddie George. And it was fun getting together with all those guys and talking with Amy up there. She said, yeah, we're going to bring back the uniforms this next year. I said, great. I said, that's awesome. So people down here are a little pissed because they don't understand it. What they don't understand is that they feel it's their property, and it's really not their property. Years ago, when the Titans became the Titans and the Oilers left here, it could have been saved had Bob Lanier and Bud Adams, which were two young fellas that grew up in River Oaks, you know, spoiled kids. Bob Lanier was the mayor. Bud Adams wanted a new stadium, football only stadium, didn't want to share with the Astros, which I can understand. You know, we were kind of growing at that time and you know, I was gone by then, but you know, they wanted a new field. So all in all, economics, it would have cost $350 million to build the stadium, give it to them, keep the Oilers here, not a problem. Well, Lanier called his bluff and sure enough, Bud left. He had enough and went to Tennessee, and now the Titans are the Titans. And then the Texans come along. Well, not only do we have to give the money to the NFL to raise money to bring a new franchise, and now we have to build a football stadium only. So
did that here. It sounds like the same story, just a generation before.
And you know, the thing is, people don't get it. They say, well, it's our team. Well, you know, you could have had it for $350 million. Now you spent $1.75 billion and you get a team in here that is not close, will never be close to the Love You Blue years. And all that money wasted, taxpayers, you know, paying that, we the taxpayers pay that. But it's a simple economics. Give them the stadium, you keep the name, you keep the town, you keep everything happy. But it didn't work out that way. So I'm all for it. I mean, I think, you know, our lineage now goes through Nashville, Tennessee. That's where our lineage goes, just like, you know, the Browns and the Ravens kind of. But the Browns got their name, their name back, you know, and it's.
Well, see, I have this from my childhood here, and I'm going to be doing some show and tell. I collect the rock and roll belt buckles, but I have this Colts belt buckle that I brought out. I think it's the only thing I still have left that says Baltimore Colts. I have a lot of Oilers stuff of your era that I've kept in a box that I'll have a little bit of fun with here in a couple minutes. But we had a hard, I still have friends my age and older, to your point, who really have a hard time. The word Ursay is a four-letter word. Jim, Bob, the Colts, the fact that they didn't do what the Texans did, which is strap a racing stripe on it, make them green and silver, do something that had something to do with Indianapolis as opposed to here. And now Dan, it's been 39 years. It's been 39 years, right, since this left. And I guess the Texans here in Baltimore, it's all purple, right? Like, you don't see Colt stuff. It's purple. Everybody's good with it. To some degree, every Lenny Moore and every Bruce Lair and the guys that were Johnny when he was still alive were part of the Ravens. The Modell family made them feel like a part of it. But this is a filthy business, isn't it? As I sit here in Oilers gear, because the Ravens have thrown me out after 27 years, the owners, the league, all of that, it's romantic. Your body hurts from all of it. But all these years later, it's a dirty, ugly business when it comes to politics. And we have a baseball owner here who's refusing to sign a lease and take $600 million of free money. That the business is never far behind it. And I know you've been in business all your life.
Well, you know, and the problem that I have with the NFL is that they don't take care of the pre-93 players. And that's us, the older guys. And they don't, I mean, the benefits are horrible. They're embarrassing. I mean, baseball's got much better benefits for their players or former players than the NFL ever will. And what they do is they now have these elongated collective bargaining agreements to where they've thrown us a bone where they'll give us another $112, $115 per vested year, you know, per month, which, you know, my retirement, I played 13 years in the NFL. My retirement check is like $2,300 to $2,400. And then our legacy fund is $3,300. So we're getting, that's what I get for retirement from the NFL. No medical, no dental, none of that. So it's just saddening to me because I see a lot of guys that are in dire straits. And you know, that kind of retirement you can't live on. The retirement after the post 93 players is unbelievable. You know, they're getting millions of dollars, they're getting 401ks, they're getting educations paid for, they're getting all that, but they don't, and full medical and dental and all that. We don't get any of it. So that's what's kind of embarrassing to me of the NFL. I actually, you know, and then I had to go through my fight with Al Davis. I actually left football with less money than I had when I came into football. So fighting him for 13 years after I retired out of football to get my payment that I thought was due, that, you know, we went through all the bargaining agreements and all the mediations and everything else. We did it by the rule. But I mean, I wound up getting bankrupt twice and, you know, broke. So it's the same. It's there's a lot of players that, you know, are worse off. I mean, I wind up surviving. I find ways to make a living and do things, but a lot of guys can't do it. You know, they have problems mentally, they have problems physically, and it's a shame. And I just think they should wake up and do more for the pre-93 players, because we're not going to be around that much longer. And every year that goes by, we're losing less and more of those players.
Dan, you're not the only one to bring this up. And, you know, obviously, yeah, I did 27 Super Bowls in Radio Row. It's where I met you originally. And obviously, our relationship with John McClain and what we did with Give a Spit. And I saw you standing at the Astros games right as the Astros were coming on. And I saw, you know, you're standing in the community and how beloved you are and that team was. We ran into J.R. Richard that night, so I had a real taste of your era in Houston. We've got baseball back on the brain here. Baseball's gotten good again, and I know in Houston, I mean, I remember the night you and I were together. The Yankees were playing. It was sort of the first time the Astros were relevant again. They started winning again. The left-hander was pitching that night, and they stuck the bats up the Yankees' backside. We had a great old time. It was back in 2015. That night, we spent 4 or 5 hours together doing charity and swabbing people, doing all the stuff. My cousins were there.
Yeah.
From that moment forward, your town really became a baseball town. Like, it's a baseball town now. I came in for Springsteen 6 months ago to go see him over at the Toyota Center. And it's all Astros. It's all the throwback. It's all the J.R. Richard era, Ryan era. You almost played baseball with Nolan Ryan back in the day, too. But for your town to be a baseball town and see that, it was never a baseball. It was 5 minutes, maybe 1980 back in your day. It was a baseball town. It was always a football town. Your town is straddled both, and the Texans are sort of, we're seeing them this week in football. They kind of stink. And to your point, they haven't lived up to what the expectation of Love You Blue sort of represented, where the football team here has made people forget about the Colts over 27 years, really.
Yeah, and the Astros are doing the same thing. I mean, you're right. It is a baseball town. I'm a baseball fan. I love the Astros. I love their organization. Got a lot of friends that are former players, you know, Durker and Bagwell and all those guys just, and we see them all the time at the games and out in public and all, but they're
and you
really,
go to games. You go to a lot, you go to
I go to some, I don't really go to that, man. I'm kind of, I don't like crowds. I'm getting late. That TV makes you lazy, man. You sit there and run it back and forth. But, you know, watching them play, I get frustrated. You know, I get really frustrated. You know that in baseball, you have your ups and your downs and your low valleys and peaks and all that stuff. But God, when they play bad, they play horribly. I mean, they lost to the Yankees. Now the Yankees, I saw something the other day watching the Yankees play. They're going to be around for a while. They got some young studs out there. That 20-year-old center fielder, whatever his name is, his first at bat hits a home run off, you know, future Hall of Famer Verlander. And then they did it again, and they just swept us. I mean, it was, like, embarrassing. And now we go up, we play Texas, and they beat them, like, I don't know, 13-6 yesterday. You just never know what's going to happen. You know, they got guys injured. Some guys are not playing well. And it's just they can't all play together at the same time and for any length of time. But now it's getting down to the end of the season, so it's kind of interesting to see what's going to happen. But I think they'll be all right. I got faith in them. I think Dusty's a great coach, and I think they'll do fine.
I am wearing my best Columbia blue today. I have Dan Pastorini's jersey on. I bought this on the internet. It was more affordable than you think. It actually fits, too. It fits under the – I don't have to wear shoulder pads in it. Dan is doing all things charitable down in Houston, Texas. He's been a part of the show. Anytime I ask him to come on, he doesn't know that I bought this fluffy hat back in 1979 at the Sears
next
outlet.
Next time, don't buy one. I know a guy.
Oh my, that won't fit me, Dan. That's not going to fit me. This fits me. It's nice. It's tagged. It's
I got them in your size.
Listen, you know, there's something about nostalgia and being a part of that. And the Ravens have thrown me out, and I still have all my box of all my old hats. I see all this stuff online that people are selling. I was down in Austin and Houston going through thrift shops, looking to see sort of remnant Oiler stuff out there and all that. You almost played baseball though, right? Like you, we talked about baseball. Why didn't you play? In retrospect, does your body, your shoulder, your knees make you wish you played shortstop instead?
Yes. At one time, you know, when you look back in my career, in the first 3 or 4 years were not the best of times here in Houston. We were like, you know, 4-9-1 my rookie year, 1-13, 1-13. I was seriously considering maybe playing baseball. But I was drafted out of high school by the Mets, and I think it was the 32nd round, 1967. And I was a shortstop, and I had good range. I had good lateral movement. I could never run very fast running straight forward, but I had good lateral movement, good anticipation being around the ball, and I had a good arm. So they came to my hometown of Sonora, sat in my dad's kitchen in the restaurant with me and my dad, and they wanted to sign me. They wanted to sign me as a pitcher, though. And I go, but I'm a good hitter. I like playing all the time. Yeah, we know, kid, but we want to make you a pitcher. I looked at my father. Dad, what do I do? He says, he called me Willie because Willie Mays was my hero growing up as a kid. Still is my favorite, my only hero in life. And he called me Willie till his dying day. And never Dan or Dante, just Willie. And he said, it's your call. You know, you're a grown man now. You're 18 years old. I turned him down. Well, lo and behold, the next year, 1968, they become the amazing Mets, and they win the World Series.
We're familiar with that in Baltimore. We know, they but had, we don't have to talk about
couple,
that.
They had a couple pitchers by the name of Ryan and Seaver. I don't know whatever happened to those two, but I think they were pretty good. So it would have been interesting to be the possibility of being in that rotation. So,
well, you're putting that flak jacket on and Howard Cosell send you out there to the Wolves back in the late, were you thinking maybe, I mean, you had a beautiful football career, right? You had good times, high highs, stardom, you know, playoff game. You should have beat Pittsburgh that day, by the way, which I still go through that with the Pittsburgh people all the time. But
we did beat Pittsburgh that day.
Yeah, I know you did. Renfro caught that ball. There's no doubt about that. We no argument. Between you and me on that for sure. But was there ever a point where baseball ever really got serious again in your life? Not, I mean, we talk about it in retrospect, but once you made the decision sort of made, you're a football player.
Yeah, no, I'm, once I commit and I'm there for the duration, but I don't regret it. I always just kind of think about it. Maybe I would have, you know, still had my hips, my right shoulder, you know, I had both, all three of those replaced, but you know, through the marvels of the medical industry, these replacement things have worked very well for me. So it keeps me mobile and able to work out and keep moving and play golf. And that's really all I need.
Are you feeling good? I mean, you're 71 years old. I mean,
I'm 74. I'm two over par. As Archie Manning said, we're two over par.
And you're golfing. No problems.
Oh yeah.
Feeling good?
Well,
listen, I love to hear that, Dan, because I mean, you talk about CTE, you talk about body, you're the flak jacket guy. You wrote a book on it. I think we're re-releasing that. We'll talk about that in a minute, but I do think, for anyone, and I'll be 55 next month. The team's been here 27 years. There are a couple players in those first 96, 97, 98 teams. One person that I'm very close with on the Super Bowl team in 01, they're having problems in life. And not problems with hips, problems with cognitive ability. A whole different level that you and I are here and well. And but I worry about all of you guys that took that sort of abuse back in the day. I worry about them now. Bigger, faster, stronger, equipment, all of that. But the league's, you know, been shady in how they've dealt with all of you, in my opinion, your health.
I agree. And to the CTE thing, it's sad because I've seen so many players that have had it and players that have it now. And, you know, I count my blessings so far. I'm 74, but, you know, I wonder sometimes, you know, am I going to wake up someday and not know where I'm at or what? Because I had a lot of concussions. I mean, 16 that we knew of, you know, that doesn't count the ones where you get hit and you see flashes of sparks and shake your eyes and you get back in the huddle and call a couple plays and continue to play. But
Joe Green was mean. Right?
he wasn't as mean as a lot of people think. I'll tell you what, he's one of my favorite people. And he comes to my golf tournament every year and just sits there and is just a great guy with the patrons and the donors and all that stuff. And
does he drink Coke still? I'm just checking.
Huh?
Does he still drink Coke? That commercial.
I don't think he drinks anything but water, I think.
That was the jersey, that right?
I know,
I have your, you know?
That was classic.
It was a classic ad. Right up there with the Miller Lite ads back in the day. Right. Dan Pastorini is here. I guess the reason I called you is because I love you. I love the Oilers. I've had this thing. Love you, Blue. I have all this cool old stuff but I'm wistful about all of this as this thing gets going. And with the jerseys going, you had a book. I think it was I met you before that. I met you at Houston 20 years ago when the first Super Bowl happened there. Yeah. But you came on with the talking flak and the flak jacket and your book. You're going to re-release this, right? I mean, your story gets better. You got to write a new little chapter or something about the last.
Well, we've kind of added to it a little bit. John and I got together. We were approached by Gotham Books and they wanted to re-release it. And so John and I talked about it, who was my co-author. And so we said, well, let's go and clean a couple of things up that we missed before and you know, add a few things. And so see what happens. And so we've got a new, it's a whole new look, a different cover and everything. And it's coming out any day. We're waiting for them to release it. We just signed off on all of the manuscripts and everything else. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Your Life in the Fast Lane. That's the subtitle.
It's still taking flak. It's still taking flak. Life in the Fast Lane. So
Life in the Fast Lane. So the racing thing, that was your real love, right? Like, I think everybody found that out. Like, after you got banged around in football and didn't play baseball with Seaver and Ryan, you decided football wasn't dangerous enough. You had to do something else, right?
You know, auto racing is a lot safer than people give it credit for. And, you know, they take every precaution in the world to go fast, but to go fast safely. It's kind of a conundrum, but it is what it is. In fact, they just had the U.S. Nationals over the weekend. I've got a friend, Will Smith, who's been running Top Fuel, and he's kind of followed my career in racing and was a football fan as well. And so we kind of stay in touch, and he qualified for his first NHRA event in the U.S. Nationals this past weekend, which is a very difficult race to qualify in. It's the best race of the drag racing series. And he qualified, he ran very respectful. He ran like a 380, at 320 miles an hour, something like that, which was right in the hunt, you know. But right now, you, if you don't run 360s or 370s or better, you're not gonna win anything. But anyway, he wound up having a first round loss to the number one qualifier, and his reaction time was super. I mean, he had like a 0.42 reaction time, which is excellent. So, you know, and then I talked to him a little bit, and messaged him on Facebook, and he said, yeah, he said, I don't think we're going to go to any more races. He said, I've got no more money. So he said, I'm out hustling the sponsorships. I said, I feel your pain. I know exactly what you're going through. So I wish him well, but it was fun. And Ron Capps and Funny Car brought back Don the Snake Prudhomme's Funny Car colors on his car, who wound up winning the race. And he had Prudhomme there at the race with him in his pit. So it was 50 years ago when Prudhomme won the U.S. Nationals in that color scheme with Mattel and all that, which really brought sponsorships into the sport better than in any other time. And so he was there, and it was kind of fun to see. I knew Don when I raced, and we did some car shows together. Great guy. And just, you know, he's the granddaddy. Him and Gartlett's are the granddaddies of the sport, and Shirley Muldowney, you know, the grandma of the sport. But, you know, it's fun to see that nostalgia and that history kind of carried through. So it was kind of fun. I like the racing. I liked all kinds of racing. I'm a speed freak, still am a little bit, but I still would like to stop that pedal one more time just to see what it feels like.
Life in the fast lane. There he is. Dan Pastorini, I got the jersey on, number 7 in your program. You can find his cause at beanangel.org. Actually, pull beanangel.org up. I'm gonna flash Dan and I off here. Let everybody know they can go up, they can donate. There's programs and events. There's Dan right on the front. Be an Angel's grown so over the request for assistance for families in need, and they're there to help out. So I want to make sure that we promote that for you. I will be drinking some Royal Farms coffee in the Houston Oilers mug. I have so much Oilers stuff here, man. I have cups. I have footballs. I have Christmas ornaments here. I mean, the Oilers were a major part of my life before the Ravens came here, and I thought I was going to be an Oilers fan forever. But so I still have this box of fun. You still have your fun. We will get your book when it comes back out. And hey, maybe if the Astros and the Orioles get together in a couple of weeks, we'll talk some baseball together, something like that, huh?
That could happen.
Any hope for the Texans at all? They stink, right?
Who?
The Texans.
Oh. I'm sorry. Yeah, there's a foot. Yeah, no, yeah, pretty much. They still have the same problem. You know, they draft a young quarterback, which I love. The kid's got talent and everything else, but they don't have an offensive line. So they're going to be
as
solid.
A quarterback, that's a problem. I think you remember that from 72, yeah. 73. Sort of that.
I know that Dan, well. I know that theory well.
Dan, you're a good man. And I it was an honor to root for you as a kid and to know you as a middle-aged gentleman as you are and I am at this point in our game here. But between riding horses, riding cars, throwing footballs, playing baseball, acting in shows, being a businessman, helping out charity, you are the Renaissance man down in Houston, Texas. So, and I'll be thinking of you in December. I'll put this on the day that the Oilers and the Titans get it after.
You got
all right?
It. I'll probably have mine on too.
Hey man, and if any of you, Chip Namius, any of those Oiler people that Amy invites down to Nashville, if you get to stuff a guy like me into the carry-on, I'll come down and wear Oiler blue. I'll be there. I will pretend to be an honorary Oiler for a day or a weekend in Nashville.
We'll make that happen. We'll make that happen.
Appreciate you, Dan. Dante Pastorini joining us here from his palatial state in Houston, Texas, hitting the golf ball and feeling good at age 74. And the book is coming back out, Taking Flak, along with John McClain, the general, who joined us this week, gave us a full Texans report against the Ravens, and has informed me that there's no chance the Ravens are losing the home opener this week. So we will see on that. Oh, Luke will be in Owings Mills all week long, as well as the Orioles getting back next week. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, talking love you blue and Ravens football. We are BaltimorePositive.com.